It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you're our honored guest, and we hope that you will come back and be with us at every opportunity that you can. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6. We will look at this verse in just a few minutes. As you think about the New Testament, we see that the New Testament is comprised of 27 books. We could say that the Apostle Paul wrote half of the New Testament. He wrote 13 of those books, 14 if you believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. He wrote to many congregations. He wrote to three individuals. He wrote to Philemon. He wrote to Titus, and as we're seeing here in the book of 2 Timothy, he wrote to a young evangelist by the name of Timothy. I believe as you consider who Timothy was and his character, considering some of the things that Paul points out here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and also the book of 1 Timothy, it appears that Timothy might have been one who was intimidated at times, who needed strength, who needed to be encouraged to live out the Christian life and to exhort other Christian people in the most holy faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is one example. As I mentioned earlier, Paul also encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Timothy perhaps was in his early 30s, maybe mid-30s, and Paul again is encouraging this man to be an example. Don't allow people to despise you because of your age. Well, here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is another example of Paul writing Timothy. This is the second letter that he has written to this young man, encouraging him. And he says in verse number 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I want you to go back to verse number 6, and I want you to underscore that word gift in your minds, or perhaps even in your Bibles. More than likely, this had to do with some kind of miraculous gift that young Timothy had. Timothy received this gift by Paul laying his hands on him. A great example of this is also seen in Acts chapter 8 when Philip was in Samaria. We see that many of them saw the miracles and believed the preaching and were baptized. The apostles would come to Samaria and they would lay their hands upon these Christians. And we read about an individual by the name of Simon, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, this miraculous ability, this miraculous power was transmitted, given to other Christians. You remember he wanted to buy that ability, that power, so that he would be able to do the same thing. And Peter rebuked him. Peter told him that his heart wasn't right with God and that he needed to get right with the Lord after he became a Christian. Well, here in this context, we see that Paul at some point laid his hands on Timothy, and rightfully so. We see how Paul used Timothy on various occasions. We're studying the book of 1 Thessalonians on Sunday morning and in Bible class, and we've noticed how Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to work with this congregation. And Timothy would use this ability, this miraculous power to help strengthen and encourage the brethren at Thessalonica. Well, here as you think about the background to this particular book, Timothy is at Ephesus. And he's working with the congregation at Ephesus. Paul wrote an epistle to this congregation, the book of Ephesians. We also see that this particular congregation was one of the seven congregations of Asia Minor that the Lord addressed in the book of Revelation. And so we have a lot of background information concerning this congregation. But here Timothy is working with this congregation. And for some reason or another, Timothy wasn't using this gift, this ability that he had. And so Paul is writing him, he's encouraging him, and he uses this language to stir him up. I like this Greek word. This particular word means to fan the fire, to stoke the fire. Perhaps you've been camping and as you were sitting around the fire, talking, having a good time, the fire begins to go out and you may take a metal object of some sort and you'll stick that metal object into the fire and you'll stir up the fire, you'll stir up the coals, and then you will put wood on the fire. Again, stoking the fire, causing the fire to burn once again. That's the metaphor that Paul uses here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to encourage this young man to use his gift, to stir up the fire. And we see how this applied spiritually speaking, and we can see how this metaphor applies to us spiritually speaking, even in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, where Paul says that we are to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. To be fervent in spirit means to be on fire for the Lord. We want to serve the Lord with a full flame, if you please. And we don't want that fire to go out. We don't want that fire to diminish. But sometimes that's what happens in our Christian life. That fire begins to diminish. It begins to go out, and that fire needs to be stoked. We need to be stirred up. We need to be encouraged to serve the Lord with a full flame. And so we all realize as Christians that we need to be stirred up on occasions. We need to fuel the fire that is within us because we might lose that zeal. We might lose that enthusiasm that we once had in serving the Lord. And so we see how this metaphor would apply to us spiritually speaking. Stoking the fire within us. So that we will have that burning desire in serving the Lord. Let me show you another example of how this word is used in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes these Christians here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says in verse 1, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Here again we see this particular word used again, to stir up. But here it's a different Greek word. It doesn't mean to stoke the fire like we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 6. It means to arouse. It means to wake up spiritually speaking. There are some Christians, again, who need to be stoked. They need to add fuel to the fire, if you please. And then there are some Christians that need to be shaken. They need to be awakened, spiritually speaking. I want to use this metaphor, this concept, this morning as a springboard into our lesson. As God's people, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance, as we see here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. We need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to use our talents. To use our talents. Everybody in here has talent. Everybody in here has abilities, and God expects us to use those abilities in His service for His glory. What's amazing about the Lord's work, everyone in here is useful. And there is something for everybody to do. There is something for me to do. There is something for you to do. And we use our talents to be able to build up the body, to encourage. But sometimes we forget about the abilities, the talents that we have. And again, we need to be shaken. We need to wake up. Or sometimes we need to stoke the fire. We might lose that zeal in our service to the Lord in using the talents, our abilities. And so we need to remember these things by way of remembrance. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. And as we look at Romans 12 and also Ephesians chapter 4, I believe these contexts are similar. We might even say they are parallel. Essentially, Paul is encouraging the same thing. But here in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 4, let's listen to what Paul says. Romans 12, beginning at verse 4, and we'll read down through verse number 8. For as we having many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Some translations, the same function. Same office, same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Listen to verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showed mercy with cheerfulness. Many members, but one body, but not all members have the same function, the same office. Not all of us have the same abilities or talents. I want to encourage you to not at this time, but to go home and take a sheet of paper and to write down some of your talents, some of your abilities. I'm convinced that all of us in here have a skill set that we can all use for the glory of God, to do His work. And it's so important to try to understand what our skill set is and to use those talents and abilities in the kingdom of God as we strive to be about the Father's business. Luke 2, verse 49. Now I realize, as you look at Romans chapter 12, many of the things that Paul mentions concerning these gifts in verse 6 were gifts in a miraculous sense. And we understand that the miraculous age has ceased, but the work hasn't ceased. There are still things that need to be done in God's kingdom. There is still work to do, and God expects His children to use their talents, their abilities in His service. All of us are useful when it comes to the Lord's work. Remember that phrase. Look at the next example, if you would. in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. You see why it's so important for all of us to use our talents and abilities in God's servant, in God's service. And here, Paul essentially is going to encourage the same thing with this congregation. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin at verse number 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The gifts that Paul is speaking of, again, are gifts that were being used in a miraculous way. And he goes on to explain in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Now these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these pastors, these teachers had miraculous gifts that they were able to use to edify and to build up the body of Christ, because they didn't have the completed revelation of God's Word like we have today, where we're able to study the entire New Testament. We can turn back to the Old Testament. We have the completed revelation of God's Word. At that time, the Word was being revealed. It was being written down. And so we see that Christians had these miraculous gifts, and they were able to do amazing things for the glory of God, for the building up of the body. Look at verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. He goes on to explain the purpose, the function behind these different offices, apostles, prophets, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith. The faith is speaking of the written Word of God, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As I said, while the miraculous has ceased, The work that we're to do, the building up the body that Paul speaks of, hasn't ceased. And all of us need to use our talents, our abilities, to help build up the body of Christ. Again, there is something for everyone to do. But as human beings, a lot of times, like Moses, Exodus chapter 3, we make excuses for why we can't do this or why we can't do that. Maybe we think that, you know, we're too old and we can't do anything anymore. I've listened to older people, and you know, older people are such an encouragement to me. One of the amazing things, or one of the ways that I receive encouragement from older people, is I see their service. I see that they've endured all of these years being faithful to God, and that encourages me. But I've also have heard older people say, well, my kids are raised, and you know what? I don't need to teach class anymore. I don't need to teach the young people anymore. I've done my service. I've done my part. I've put in my time. Again, we need to realize that the Lord's work should never stop. Whether we're young in the faith or old in the faith, we need to use the abilities that God has given us. Let me share a couple passages that really encourage this from the Old Testament. In Psalm 104, verse 33, the psalmist says, listen to it, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I like that verse. As long as I can reason, as long as I can think, I'm going to be about the Lord's service. I'm going to worship God. And then there's Psalm 71, verse number 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is come. Again, these verses are encouraging involvement. And essentially what you see in these verses, the psalmist is saying is, as long as I can, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to do something for God in His service. When you look at the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, we see that there is a separation between the sheep and the goats. And we see in that context of Matthew chapter 25, and you can include the parable of the talents in that, we can see from these parables that the Lord is upset when we're not busy. The Lord gets upset when we're not active in His service. And so all of us should be asking the question, what am I doing? That's what we should be examining this morning. What am I doing in God's service? God has given me abilities. God has given me talents. And so, how am I using those things? You remember Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, Solomon says, "For whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Find what you can do and do the very best that you can, remembering that we're serving the Lord. For whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. That's why we should be busy. Because the Lord is the one that is going to reward us. And I want to end on this point, not the lesson, but on this point by turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've made this point throughout this first point. Okay? Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2 beginning at verse number 20. Paul writing again to Timothy, stirring him up, but in the great house, 2 Timothy 2 verse 20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, underline it, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That is such an encouraging verse because it teaches me that I am useful to the master's service. Individually, we are useful. A lot of times we need to be encouraged in this. A lot of times we need to be awakened spiritually speaking. A lot of times we need to stoke the fire, to get busy, to get productive, because there is so much work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. And so again, what are you doing? Number two, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to be evangelistic. And I know these two points go hand in hand and they're similar. Being evangelistic is part of the Lord's work, but it's an important part of the Lord's work. And it's something that again we need to be reminded of, that we need to be encouraged in. As you therefore have opportunity, Paul would say in Galatians 6 verse 10, do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household or faith. Again, we're using that principle, as you therefore have opportunity. I'm convinced we have opportunity every day to talk to people about the Lord. A lot of times what happens, and I'm guilty of it too, we're so busy, and we're so busy doing this or that, we're taking care of things that have to be done, that we forget to talk to people about the Lord. when we need to learn to slow down and realize that, you know, when we're engaging in ordinary conversations with individuals, this really provides the greatest opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. Look at John chapter 4. Jesus took an ordinary glass of water and turned it into a spiritual conversation and talked about living water. Again, we see those principles. We see that strategy, if you please. How the Lord took ordinary conversations and turned them into spiritual. That's not going to happen by accident. We have to learn to be spiritually minded. We have to remember that we need to be evangelistic. And so when I talk to that person at school, when I see that person in the community, when I'm sitting there talking to them about ordinary things, I'm thinking of the bigger picture. I'm thinking about how can I talk to this person about the Lord? How can I use this as an opportunity to talk to them about the manifold wisdom of God? The language of Ephesians 3 verse 10. And by the way, when you look at Ephesians chapter 3, the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. That just shows us in a practical way that the church is not the building. How is the building going to make known the manifold wisdom of God? The point is clear. The church is not a building. The church is made up of people who belong to the Lord, who are part of the body of Christ. And the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. We need to pray for the lost. Colossians 2 verse number 3. We need to learn to see people the way God sees them. In Matthew 9 verse 36, Jesus saw the people as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus saw people for who they were, and sheep without a shepherd are lost. And we have to see people that way. If they're outside of Christ, they are lost. And if we understand that spiritually speaking, and if we truly love the Lord, we're going to want them to be saved and we're going to engage. We're going to do something. We're going to take action. We're going to persuade people, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, to obey the Lord. But before we can encourage people to obey the Lord, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to know the plan of salvation. We have to know the Word of God, and then we have to go. We have to apply it. That's why Jesus gave the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Go ye means, Clay, I want you to go. Brother Kaufman, I want you to go. God wants us to go into all the world. It's good when we go into all parts of the world. But when you go back and really consider what Jesus is saying, I want you to go into the world in which you're living in, into the area that you're living in. And I want you to share the gospel. Let's never forget that. Let's not lose sight of that. Again, that's why we're presenting this lesson, spiritually speaking. We want to be stirred up. We want to stoke the fire in this area. We want to have this evangelistic zeal. There are so many practical points that we need to consider, but I realize time will only allow us to look at a few, but I believe this one is important. Number three, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to look beyond the past. Sometimes Christians fail to be busy. Sometimes they are idle. They are struggling, spiritually speaking, because they are dwelling upon the past. They can never get over their past, and so they become idle, and that flame begins to diminish. They become spiritually asleep and they fail to do nothing. As I said, the Lord is upset with us when we don't use our talents and our abilities. And there are so many things in life that keep us from doing that. And that's just one of them. We spend all of our time dwelling upon the past and we become miserable and paralyzed spiritually speaking. Listen to these verses. Psalm 130, verse number 4. There is forgiveness with God. That's the good news of the gospel. There is forgiveness with God. O Lord, if Thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. And you see, when we meet God's terms of pardon that are found right here in the New Testament, when we obey the plan of salvation, we learn an Old Testament principle in Psalm 103, verse 12, that helps us grasp the concept of forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our sins from us. Psalm 103, verse number 12. Again, you can see how that passage can help somebody understand what happens when they obey the gospel. It doesn't matter what you've done. That's the point that I'm making. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what sin it is. When you meet God's terms of pardon that are found in the Bible, when we hear God's Word, when we unite it with faith, when we repent of our sins, understanding what repentance is, when we confess Christ, and when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Here's another Old Testament verse, Micah 7, verse 19. Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. Again, I love those Old Testament passages that help us understand what happens at baptism. If we understand God's forgiveness and what happens in conversion, we're not going to be dwelling upon our past. But it's something that we struggle with. It's something that is there. And it's something that can drag us down, spiritually speaking, if we don't deal with it. Let me talk to you about an individual that was a very bad, bad person. His name was Saul of Tarsus, and he became the Apostle Paul. In Acts 26, verse 9, he said he did many things contrary to the name of Christ. Interesting verse in Acts 26, verse 11, it says that he made people blaspheme the name of God. Have you ever thought about how he did that? Paul was one who persecuted Christians. In Galatians 1, verse 13, in his own words, he said, "I wasted the church." Paul was fighting against the Lord. Paul was trying to destroy the church. He didn't like what the apostles were teaching about the kingdom of God. He didn't like the concept of Christianity because it went against his religion. And so he began to attack it and he began to try to destroy it. But Paul came to his spiritual senses. We see Paul obeyed the gospel. You hear his words in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful and saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul viewed himself as the chief of sinners because of what he did. Paul had a past. Brother Ray, you have a past. I know I have a past. But as you think about Paul's past, Paul didn't allow his past to drag him down. Paul didn't allow his past to consume him. Oh, it could have, but he didn't allow it because he knew that he had been forgiven by God. And now his attitude was, Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, I press toward the mark. In fact, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. You can do that when you understand the power of the gospel. And when you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away your sin. Oh, I realize the consequences will still be there. And I realize that we have to deal with the consequences. But the guilt of sin is not hanging over our heads. The condemnation that sin brings isn't there. That's what is gone. And because of the blood of Christ, Romans 5 verse 9, we stand before God justified. Clay, what does it mean to be justified? Listen to how this can translate. Just if I never sinned. That's how God looks at us when we contact the blood of Christ. That's how He treats us. Just if we never sinned, violated God's will because of His grace and mercy. Again, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to look beyond the past. The past is the past. We now need to focus on the present. We now need to focus on what we should be doing in God's kingdom. And then finally, we need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to grow spiritually speaking, 2 Peter 3 verse 18, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A question that we all need to consider is this: how much have we grown since our conversion? You know, when you read the book of Hebrews, these Christians stopped growing. From Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 5, it may have been that these Christians have been Christians for some 30 to 40 years. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 5, they were on the milk of God's Word. They hadn't grown. And the writer is encouraging them to grow, to be more mature, to leave the principles, the ABCs of Christianity, and to move on to perfection. You see, for a lot of Christians, the danger isn't apostasy. The danger is lukewarmness. And the Lord, again, doesn't like lukewarmness. You can look at the congregation at Laodicea and we see that lukewarmness is distasteful to God. You see, when we're not growing in the Lord, when we're not growing in our love for the Lord, our love for Christian service will diminish. That fire, that flame will go out. When our affection for the Lord is not what it should be, our love for worship and fellowship will diminish. Our love for daily Bible study and prayer will diminish. That's why we need to stoke the fire. That's why we need to awake spiritually speaking. Paul uses that same analogy in Romans 13 verse 11. And knowing the time that is high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. As we think about salvation, that should be our focus. And everything that entails salvation, worship, service, spiritual growth, being the people that God wants us to be. And so this morning, I hope as we think about what Paul says to Timothy, as he writes Timothy, as he strives to stir up that gift that Timothy had, I hope all of us are stirred up by looking at God's Word, reminding us of these truths that we looked at from God's Word, because we all need to be stirred up by way of remembrance, because we are prone to forget. We need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to remember the day of the Lord. You know, the Lord may return at any moment. And it's so important for all of us to be ready. And the best way that we can be found ready is by doing, being active, being faithful in God's service. People need to be stirred up by way of remembrance to obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. You know, I've studied with people who have never obeyed the gospel. We went through these studies, weeks of studies, and they knew what they needed to do, but for some reason they delayed. That's why we need to encourage, why we need to stir up one another. We want to stir up those who've never obeyed the gospel, because that is the greatest decision that you can ever make, to obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. And then we need to stir up one another to be faithful, to be active, to be busy. We have so many things to live for. We have so many things to look forward to as children of God. Let's not neglect this salvation. Let's stoke the fire and let's serve the Lord with the fervency that He deserves. The lesson is yours this morning. If we can help you spiritually speaking in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.